I would like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We are continuing in a series on Sunday night that we started, I guess more than 10 weeks ago, but several weeks ago, on a topical nature, going after the great J.C. Ryle's book called Practical Religion. J.C. Ryle was an Anglican bishop in Liverpool in the 1860s and 70s. He was roughly a contemporary with Charles Spurgeon, and he was a voice for the plain teaching of the Word of God in England. His writings have survived him, and like so many from that era, he is more popular now than he ever was then. My life, as I have told you before, was changed radically by a book that I read in college by J.C. Ryle, and I have collected a few over the years. And I had never read Practical Religion and thought that it might be something that I could read and take off from in the area of preaching on Sunday night, and it has been a blessing to me. Ryle talks about in his book different things that need to be in our mind and our thoughts weekly, daily, as we live the Christian life. His book was intended to be very practical, very, very down to earth, very day to day. And I have found through this series, this being the 10th one, that nearly every one of these, whether it was for you or not, were things that I needed to think about in every particular week. We've talked about worldliness. We've talked about being able to think in terms of the real world and not in terms of the fake world that we see around us at all times. In this particular chapter, J.C. Ryle talks about your greatest friend. And we are talking about friendship tonight, but not friendship with each other, though there might be some application to it. We're talking about friendship with somebody even greater than each other. I imagine that we'll never think of the word friends the same way as we do after the Facebook phenomenon. I think Facebook is, in a sense, devalued friendship. Friendship meant something where we were knit together, a relationship that was close together. You can become a friend of somebody with a click of the mouse, and suddenly you are going to see things that he says, whether you want to see them or not, on your Facebook page. I have enjoyed Facebook. It's sort of devalued friendship, but I've enjoyed it. It's connected me with friends from high school that I'd completely lost track of. And yet, it's just not real friendship, is it? Then we find that there's a new TV show out there, God Friended Me, I think, or something like that. It's a show about an atheist who got a text from somebody somewhere that he can't figure out, and it is God wants to be your friend on Facebook. And so he friends God on Facebook, and then God sends him people that he ought to be friends with every week. And so the saga of the weekly show, from my understanding, I haven't seen it yet, is that every week this atheist keeps getting these texts from God, these messages from God, to go friend somebody else. And as he gets involved in their life, he begins to realize that he can make a difference in the lives of others. World Magazine, my source for what's going on in the news world from a Christian perspective, also does TV and movie reviews. And they review God Friended Me in a sort of positive way. They say it's too soon to tell, but this actually might be something that Christians can watch. Usually, if it's about spiritual things on television, it disqualified from ever watching it. I think it was Molly Basham says in her review, this one might be almost worth watching. No, it doesn't have much about Jesus in it, but there might be something that's actually uplifting as part of this particular show. At the same time, that again sort of devalues what friendship is, because it doesn't include that which the book of John talks about, the basis of the real friendship that we need to have. The book of John in chapter 15, we find ourselves in the middle of the discourse that Jesus gave in the upper room. These last few hours, in fact, before he was taken out and crucified. He says all kinds of things, focusing mostly on love for one another. But he also gives this monumental prayer in John 17, a discussion of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and John 15. And yet there's also something here about friendship. You see, if Facebook devalues our understanding of friendship, John 15 upvalues our understanding of friendship. Here we are in the last days of Jesus' life in John chapter 15. I'll be reading in God's Word in chapter 12 through 17. Hear God's Word. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to talk about these few verses that talk about friendship with Jesus Christ. I'll start out this way. Have you heard this phrase before? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, you know, that's the beginning of that great gospel song about prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. In verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The implication is that Jesus is ready to lay down his life for his friends. And then he shocks us in many ways. And I would imagine if we were reading it from a perspective of all the eras of history, we would be even more shocked that the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, says in verse 14, you are my friends. Then he says in verse 15, no longer I call you servants. The servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. It should shock us, really, because the God of the ages, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, has decided to become your friend. There's only been a few times in my Facebook experience, if you're a Facebook person, when someone asks to be your friend. I usually don't do that myself. I'm sort of passive about all that friend sort of thing. If you friend me, I'll probably friend you back and go ahead and we'll be friends. But I don't ask too many people. But a few times, just a few, not many, somebody important asked to be my friend. There's a bit of a thrill with that. Somebody who I think important, I could tell you who they were and you'd say, who? It's just people that run in my circles. Somebody who said they'd like to be my friend. A couple of what we might call bigwigs within our denominational circles. They wanted to be my friend on Facebook. Wasn't that great? Made me feel like, hey, I'm not the anonymous guy up in the northwest corner of Alabama. Maybe, yeah, really I am. But somebody knows who I am. Isn't that great? How much more it is when the Lord of glory, Jesus, comes and says, I'm going to friend you. You know the backstory of this. This isn't just Jesus coming and selecting the tip-top ones around him. He gives it up for them. These men are deserters. And they're about to show it here in just a few hours from the time when Jesus spoke in John chapter 15. And then, of course, we remember what Romans chapter 5 says. We've been going through Romans in the morning. And we remember from last week or a week or so ago, Romans 5, 8, it says, God shows his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, that's who Jesus friends. He friends sinners. And then in verse 10, it says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled. And that's what we are. We are enemies. We are born enemies of God, children of Adam. And to be Jesus' friend isn't just a maudlin story of sweetness and light. Isn't that sweet? Oh, Jesus has friended me. No, no, it's different. It's different than you and I friending each other. It's different than your best friend that you've ever had here. And notice these differences. You see, Jesus didn't have to friend you. He didn't have to call you a friend. Notice that Jesus planned to be your friend from eternity past, before you ever even were born. He knew you, and He knew you personally before you ever came into existence. And when He came here in order to establish a reconciliation friendship with you in the hostile territory. I remember hearing a speaker named John Reed from Dallas, Texas one time say that what Jesus really did would be, oh, I don't know, the equivalent of us getting off the plane in Houston, Texas. I believe that's what he said, Houston, Texas, to come and see our grandchildren. And there the grandchildren were on the other side of the airport with a machine gun set up to shoot us as soon as we got off the plane. How disheartening. But Jesus came to even worse. He came to hostile territory. The Lord of glory, who knew no sin, was suddenly surrounded with sinners. And Jesus then took on flesh. He took on mortality. He took on aging. He took on things like itching. It's a strange thing to mention, I know. But Jesus took on all those common things about who humans are, took it upon Himself, things that He had never experienced nor should have needed to experience. But He took them on to be a substitute for us. He took them on so that He could be our friend. And He took them on without sinning. J.C. Ryle says in his article, Jesus is a friend indeed because we were people in need. You see, we were in need of a friend. We were lost. We were sinners. We were enemies. We were bound for what the Bible calls hell. We were bound for an eternity without fellowship with God. And yet He voluntarily, with the consent of the Father and the Spirit in the eternal covenant before the foundation of the world, He came and He drew near to us. Emmanuel took upon Himself who we are, died for us, rose for us, gave us the credit of His life, and says to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And when you sin, He accepts you still as your elder brother and still intercedes for you, introduces you to His Father even as we pray. Father, hear Him. Hear Him. He is my brother, my sister. Hear Him when He prays because of what I did. He is my friend. Do you have a friend like that? I guess we have lots of friends. I don't know how many friends I have on Facebook. Maybe 6, 7. I don't know how many there are. Maybe we have lots of friends in this world around us. But do you have a friend who went this far for you? Do you have a friend who suffered like this for you? Do you have a friend who voluntarily did things for you while you still despised him? What a friend we have in Jesus. The second thing about friendship from this passage I learned is that our friend brings us close to the Father. That's the second thing I want to tell you today. Our friend brings us close to the Father. Our friend brings us to a place where we might know somebody else. I had a good friend whose best friend was the governor's daughter of our home state. Well, he got to know somebody very early in his life. Why? Because he had a friend to introduce him. Look in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends. Jesus called them friends. And here is another stunning statement. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus says, what the Father told me, I am telling you now. And the Holy Spirit that he mentions in this chapter, the next chapter, and the previous chapter will go on and communicate more and more of what you need to hear. Why is Jesus such a good friend? He laid down his life for us. He saved us. But Jesus is also a good friend because he tells us the truth. He tells us the truth. Do you have a friend that'll tell you just about anything? I think the big test of that is when you're hanging out with somebody who's a friend and they have a big piece of green parsley on their teeth right in the front. And you stop and you think, But are you that good of a friend? I must say that when I have seen a few parsley teethers, I have just passed on it because I just didn't know whether it would embarrass them too much, whether it would be, well, I didn't know if I was that good a friend to them or not. If there's something completely wrong, ladies, when you have a girlfriend in your life where you can say, hey, is your hair, let me fix that for you. Give me your brush. Do you dare? Do you dare? Ladies, do you dare do that? With guys, it's usually just grab a strand and pull it real hard. That's all you need to do. But do you dare say that? You know, if we have the best of bestest friends, that friend ought to be able to tell you the truth no matter what the situation is. I don't encourage all of you to start telling the complete truth to all your friends because some of you will enjoy it way too much. You'll enjoy those negative things. Oh, way too much. Oh, put a little weight on. Maybe we'll pray for your diet. How about that? We don't need to hear that, but we do hear from our heavenly friend everything we need to know. And he tells us what we need to know. He tells us how to get to the Father. How to get to the Father. You get to the Father through me. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus will tell us about ourselves. If we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we go to the heavenly throne and we say to him, I don't want any sin in my life that messes up my fellowship with you, I guarantee you he'll send your spirit and you'll find out. You'll find out those things that break your fellowship with him. Jesus tells us about the big picture. We need the big picture. We need to understand what this world is all about. And Jesus tells us here in John 15, and he tells us elsewhere, and the Word of God inscripturated tells us the big picture. Jesus tells us what we should do to find happiness, to find satisfaction. And Jesus also tells us our future. In this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus tells us the truth. You're going to have temptation. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have death. But he's also going to tell you that you, if you walk with him, will experience glory and transformation. Clearly, the Bible is God's word to you. It is Jesus, your friend, telling you what you need to know, and you need to know it. You see, our friend tells us about God. I must say as well that in earthly friendships, your earthly friends, if they're the best friends, ought to be able to tell you about God too. I don't know whether you've got a good spiritual friend or not, and I don't know whether you've got a good friend who is not a believer. We need to have friends that are not believers, but at the same time, the best of friends are ones that can tell you about spiritual things and relate spiritual things to you. The friends that we have who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ at all can encourage us with the things that they have learned. They're not the kind of friend that the Bible talks about, not a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ who tells us what the Father has made known to him. The third thing I want to notice about this friendship is that there is another side to it. We ought to be his friend. So we ought to be. We ought to be his friend. It's a cryptic statement. Does it give you any pause at all in verse 14? You are my friends if you do what I command you. Almost sounds like if you do well, Jesus will like you, and if you don't, you won't. I'm not exactly sure that's what it's talking about. He's talking to people that he already has a relationship with. He's talking to people who he's already accepted, that he knows, and that he has brought into his circle. He's talking to believers. And so we would like to say that no, the requirement for being saved is not doing what we command. But for friendship, communion, and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it's like any friendship on any level. You get what you put into it. I think my father heard me from time to time complaining because I didn't have good friends at one time or another. And I know I must have done that. I can't recall exactly doing, because one of my father's great verses that he always quoted to me was the King James Version of Proverbs 18:24, which says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." If you look that up in your ESV or your New American Standard or your NIV, it doesn't say that. It's probably not even a very good translation. I always thought it was one of my dad's Benjamin Franklin quotes. He had a million of those farmer's almanac kind of quotes, "The Lord's helped those who help themselves," and all that kind of thing. But you know, I think he's probably right, and this passage, if translated in the King James, is close. A man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. Your friendship with Jesus Christ can be developed, can be enhanced by, verse 14, doing what he commands. That cost of friendship in a spiritual area is to obey Christ. You see, in friendships here, we put up with a lot, don't we? We put up with the weaknesses of our friends. We sometimes have to call them instead of waiting them to call us. We've got to go help them out. If you drive a pickup, you become everybody's friends, and you have to show up at their house and help them move stuff from time to time. You've got to do a little bit to be friends with other people. Well, Jesus just says, this is what you do. To grow in your depth of relationship with Him, obey Him. Now, what does that mean? It means you do what He commands. You obey what He commands you to believe. When Jesus tells you what to believe about the world and about Himself, then you ought to believe it. You ought to do what He commands in moral areas. If He tells you to stay away from lust, or to stay away from greed, to stay away from coveting, to not be a materialist, if He tells you that you ought not to gossip or hold a bitter grudge against anybody else, you ought to do what He commands, because we as believers in Christ, we live on the friendship that we have with Jesus Christ. We have to do what He commands in the means of grace. You want to be a friend of Jesus? The ordinary means of grace enhance your friendship with Him. What do I mean by ordinary means of grace? We've mentioned it so many times. We want you to know in your heart. Know what that means, and that is the church's ordinary means of grace is reading the Bible, praying, taking the sacraments, worshiping, being part of each other's fellowship, coming together and drawing near to each other. You see, if you follow Him in obedience in those areas, it enhances your relationship with Him. Now, yes, I know it can be legalism. Let's see what I've got to do. I've got to kick off. Oh, I've got to go to prayer meeting. I've got to call Charlie. I've got to make sure I'm in church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And if I do that, then Jesus is automatically my friend. That's not quite what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you want to draw close to Jesus, this is the conduit. This is the means. To be His friend is the means of grace. And to do what He commands us in service and ministry, to give of your heart to others, to give of your heart to the church, it's part of the cost of being close in communion with Jesus Christ. No, salvation is by grace and not by works. And yet there's something very real about obeying God in order to draw near to Him in communion. Let me ask you tonight, do you have a friend in Jesus? Whenever we sing that song, it's in our hymnal. I can hear the way it was sung back in the hills when I was growing up with that sort of twang. Gotta have a twang. I hear a little twang in Alabama. We got your twang here. But that nasal twang, wah, you know, can you dial it up? And I can just hear that song in my childhood. What a friend we have in Jesus. So let me just ask you, first of all, the fundamental question, the first question is this. Is Jesus your friend? You see, Jesus becomes your friend by the spiritual world becoming real to you. By you knowing that God has called you what you are, a sinner, and separated from grace and from life. And he's offering Jesus to you as your friend so that you can believe in him as your Lord and Savior. And then turn from your wicked ways and embrace him. And by grace and by faith, come to him and become a Christian with him. You see, you need to come close. You need to draw near to him to be his friend. You see, I think it's important for so many different reasons. And I think it's important for you who are Christians to have friend relationship with him. Yes, the Lord of glory, the God of the ages, the King of kings. It's not necessarily a equal relationship like you and your buddies are. You see, he is grand, he is holy, and he is a sacred person. But you can still have communion even though you're not equal in that regard because he came to make you his friend. In a very practical way, I tell you what I believe to be the real case, and that is that you can be his friend even when all your friends leave you. I experienced some of this in my teenage years. Times when you did something wrong or you didn't accomplish what you thought you were, you weren't in the in crowd, you weren't part of the cool kids, or you made a mistake, you didn't tell a good enough joke, or you got cut from the ball team, or something happened where other kids just turned their back on you. I think that extends even into the later part of our life. There's been something written I'd like to quote to you about the loneliness that comes into the lives of millions. It says, one writer says it's an emotional epidemic. A recent survey of over 40,000 respondents of all ages found that 67% of them felt lonely some of the time. Projected nationally, that amounts to over 150 million Americans who have personally experienced loneliness. Another survey found that over 64% of widows over the age of 50 in several major urban areas mentioned loneliness as a significant problem in their life. The United Methodist Men have established a nationwide 24-hour toll-free telephone line for people just simply to pray with somebody. Loneliness is the most frequently mentioned prayer need that they receive. Contact, a nationwide crisis intervention telephone network, received over 18,000 calls due to intense loneliness in one recent six-month period. One of my professors in college said that loneliness does not mean that people aren't around you. Loneliness is that when people aren't around you who understand you and get who you are and who you're not. Let me tell you, Jesus can be your friend. And if you're a Christian today and have experienced some of this loneliness, I can't just wave a wand and make all that loneliness go away. But there are certain things you can do, and that is to enhance and grow in your relationship and communion with Jesus Christ. I've called those of you who aren't Christians to come to Jesus as your friend as well as your Savior and Lord. But I'm telling Christians as well, practice his presence. In the ordinary means of grace, in obeying God, in even the hard things, sometimes obeying God will make you lonely because others won't want to be around someone who obeys God. But I believe with all my heart that when you obey God and friends turn their back on you, that's when your friendship with Jesus Christ is the greatest and the deepest and the most heightened. If you want to obey him, If you want to follow Him and His commands, if you want to draw near to Him, you may. For this friendship never ends, and this friendship will never fail. And this friendship, that is with Jesus Christ, is one where He accepts you for all you are, and yet draws out of you all that you can be. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we pray that as we come before You as the Sovereign Lord, and we come before Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, seated at the right hand, that we also can come to the position where we see Jesus as our friend. Oh Father, we thank You for the fact that Jesus comes near to us in communion, in the Word, and even in the spiritual fellowship we have with one another. And we ask You that we might magnify our friendship with Jesus, even today, even now, even this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.